Good evening and welcome to Outbeat Collage Out in the Arts, a program of, by, and for the LGBT community. I'm Michaela Kennan. Also happy to welcome back Gary Carnevale as my host extraordinaire. Mary Moore Campagna is on the engineering boards. Together we have a high art show for you this evening, beginning with Doug from Food for Thought, here to talk about the upcoming event benefiting Project Africa. Later on, it's a one-on-one with Shanna Ponce and Kay Michelle from Hot Butch, a brand new clothing design company featuring menswear-inspired fashion for the butch woman. It's a great lineup for an unforgettable evening. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
That was Jeff Agler from his Resistance CD, the title track, Resistance. Good evening, I'm Gary Carnevale. Glad for you to be listening to us once again. Let's get right to Greg Moralia and Outbeat Radio News and Calendar.
Say.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, August 19th, 2012. In Atlanta, the Centers for Disease Control has launched the largest survey ever conducted by a federal agency for gay and bisexual men in the United States. Sex in the Question will make a monetary donation to the It Gets Better project for every survey completed. The survey is aimed at understanding men's sexual behavior and health and finding ways to deal with STD and HIV transmission among men who have sex with men. A quick online survey, Sex is the Question, is also one of the first surveys to provide immediate feedback based on participants' answers, so you'll know exactly how you compare to other men who are taking the survey as well. You can learn more and participate in this survey at www.sexisthequestion.org. And here locally, efforts to prevent new infections of HIV appear to be working. In the past 12 years, just 173 confirmed AIDS deaths have taken place in Sonoma County. This compared to 106 AIDS-related deaths in 1995 alone. That was the year protease inhibitors became available, the first drugs found to effectively treat HIV. AIDS, first identified in the United States in 1981, was unsparing. In 1990 in Sonoma County, the disease killed 106 people, virtually all gay men, a death rate of 2 a week. In 2000, the rate dropped to 27, and in 2010, just 10 people died. From 1981 through 2010, 2,141 confirmed cases of HIV were diagnosed in Sonoma County, and of those, more than half, or 1,198, have died, according to the Sonoma County Department of Health Services. Today, the landscape of HIV/AIDS has changed significantly. Refined treatment methods and the arrival of new medications have transformed what was once a terminal diagnosis to one that is actually manageable. The data tells a striking story of despair turning into hope, to the point where those with the illness are commonly referred to as people with living with HIV or AIDS rather than victims. Rick Dean, executive director of Face to Face, a nonprofit organization offering HIV and AIDS services, said, "If you're on medication, many people, most people, are living productive, independent, and healthy lives. Back in the day, it was about quality of life, but it was the end of life. Now it's about sustaining quality of life issues. It's how do we get people housed so they can take care of themselves and be independent and live with HIV, whereas before it was about how did we find a person a skilled nursing facility for their end of life. In other ways, though, severe challenges remain. AIDS has greatly broadened its reach beyond gay and bisexual men, although in Sonoma County, they remain far the largest group of people with the illness. Of that group, young men are at particular risk. In the county, AIDS now regularly affects intravenous drug users, foreign-born Latino men, and heterosexual women, including an increasing number of Latinas. Perhaps most important, an estimated 20 to 25% of the national population of people with HIV or AIDS is infected without knowing it. In Sonoma County, an estimated 2,000 residents have HIV/AIDS, of which an estimated 400 to 500 are unknowingly infected. And in Napa, the LGBTQ Project is seeking out the estimated 11,000 lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or questioning people in Napa County in order to complete a survey intended to identify the many unmet needs of the LGBT community in that county. LGBTQ Project Director Ian Stanley said, "Results from this survey and from hundreds of follow-up interviews will be used with community leaders and organizations to make Napa County a safer and more welcoming place for LGBT people. All responses to the survey are private, and the survey can be taken anonymously. The survey, which includes only 20 questions and takes only 5 minutes to complete, is available online in English and Spanish at gaynapa.com. Printed copies are also available at the Napa LGBTQ Project office located at 780 Lincoln Avenue in Napa. For more information, give them a call at 707-251-9432. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Tuesday, August 21st at 6:30 p.m., the Transgender North Bay Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And also on Tuesday, new volunteer orientations will take place at Food for Thought, Sonoma County AIDS Food Bank, at 7 p.m., 6550 Railroad Avenue in Forestville. And on Thursday, August 23rd at 6:30 p.m., the Men's Peer-to-Peer HIV Group will gather at Face to Face, 873 2nd Street in Santa Rosa. And also on Thursday at 7 p.m., the Positive Images Small Group Night will meet at the Santa Rosa High School Teachers Lounge, 1235 Mendocino Avenue. And finally, on Friday, August 24th at 7:30 p.m., the PFLAG Santa Rosa Support Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street. For Gary Carnevelli, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Outbeat Collage with Gary Carnevelli and Michaela Kennan.
We are back with Outbeat Collage, and we welcome Doug Gosling, who manages the garden at Food for Thought, here to talk about project the benefit they are doing with Project Open Hand. This Tuesday. Welcome, Doug.
Sunday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sunday the 26th.
That's right. Where did I get Tuesday? So talk about first what you do at Food for Thought, and for those listeners who aren't aware of what Food for Thought does or is.
Okay. Food for Thought is the Sonoma County AIDS Food Bank, and it's been around for a good 20 years. And I've been involved for 20 years, since almost the beginning. Actually, I think it's been more than 20 years that Food for Thought's been around. And I manage the garden there. There's an organic garden around the building, and we grow food for the clients. And I'm there on Saturdays, and I have a lot of volunteer help. And we try to make it beautiful and productive and bring as much food into the clients as we can.
Fresh produce.
Right.
It's a beautiful garden.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be there.
So what's going now? I bet everything's the harvest. Are you harvesting fruit? And
yeah, it's been really nice the last couple of weeks. I mean, there's been plums and pears and peaches. We had a good peach year, and right now we have cucumbers and kale and chard and tons of basil. The tomatoes have been really slow. I think everyone's having that experience. Afraid
I know
so.
We are.
Yes.
Even there in Forestville.
In Forestville.
Really
I know it's
hot.
Very hot. It's been a little puzzling, but I've heard that from a lot of people, that even with the heat, it's been slow.
Mm-hmm.
But we're starting to pick cherry tomatoes and leeks and scallions, and it's that wonderful time of year, sort of that moment, you know, when, when there's a lot of everything.
Right, right.
So it's really satisfying right now.
And how many volunteers do you have helping you in the garden?
You know, anywhere from about 5 to 10, something like that. And there's a dedicated core, people who come every week, and it's very sweet. We all eat lunch together, and some people stay all day, and it's a wonderful thing to do on Saturdays.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you said you're there every Saturday.
Every Saturday,
so
ten
work
to five.
With your crew every Saturday, and that's sort of when you tend the garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not very much time. I mean, you know, it ends up being maybe 8 hours a week, and we have to keep that garden together.
Right.
Sometimes I sneak over there and do extra work. Yeah. But I love doing that.
To check on how things are going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we get a lot done. It's amazing. And there are some people who volunteer or come in on days other than Saturday, harvest earlier in the week, and do that sort of thing. There's even a woman who tends the worm boxes. That's what she does. And I love that. You know, a food bank that has a worm.
Right.
Well, three worm boxes. And, you know, the castings are collected and put in the garden. And so all the produce waste from the food bank is made use of. It's a resource. So there aren't very many food banks that do things like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Food for Thought is very inspired in a lot of ways.
Certainly, certainly. Yeah. And inspiring.
I think so. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. So talk about the event that's happening next Sunday.
Well, there is a program of Food for Thought called Project Africa, and it's been around since 2005, maybe 2004. And let's see, it was inspired by a guy named Stephen Lewis, who is the AIDS ambassador to Africa. And a couple of staff people from Food for Thought heard him speak at a conference, and he said basically, we in this room, and this was a conference of all kinds of AIDS support groups around the country, we in this room have many, many years of experience working with this disease, and we know a lot. We've learned a lot. There's a continent like Africa that is suffering mightily from the epidemic right now. What will our children say if they ask, why didn't you help, you know, when Africa was going through this incredible epidemic? And, you know, we need to say that we did. And so he challenged all the organizations in the room to actually do something. And Food for Thought, being the kind of organization that it is, really decided that it ought to do something. And so I was invited to be on the committee that sort of explored what that meant, you know, for a food bank in Sonoma County to do work in Africa. And I've been sort of obsessed with Africa for a long time. And so it was a great privilege, you know, an honor to explore that. And we've ended up supporting a number of organizations around Africa that work with people with AIDS and have ended up landing on primarily one group in Namibia, in the capital, Windhoek. And it's a soup kitchen for AIDS orphans. And the people who run it, who are from Zimbabwe, believe that nutritional support is what allows people who are affected, orphans and then their families, to survive. And so it was their idea. They wanted to create an organic garden around this soup kitchen that's in the middle of the settlements. You know, it's like the townships in South Africa.
Right.
To grow food for the kids. And so we learned about this project, and Food for Thought recognized it as a sister organization, you know, working with people who have AIDS or HIV, and believing that food is one of the great ways to support people who have the disease. And so this project, we do fundraising, and we're having a benefit on Sunday at Peter Lowell's in Sebastopol, really wonderful restaurant that serves organic, you know, or uses organic produce and has wonderful food. And so it's our annual fundraiser to raise some funds to send to Namibia. And so that's what it is. It's from 3 to 6, and it's $75. And there's a program, and there's music. We have African music, someone playing the kora, which is a West African lute. And we did the same thing last year at Peter Lowell's, and it was wonderful. It was a really sweet event. So,
How did Peter Lowell get involved? How did the restaurant get involved? Did you approach them?
I approached them, and Peter Lowell's is really good about supporting community. You know, they do a lot of work in, you know, they support local farmers, they support organics, they support gardens and schools, and I think they're very community-minded. And so they, you know, Lowell, who's the owner, was very open and supportive of this, and he was happy to do it again. They basically close the restaurant and have this event, and then they open, you know, like at 6 o'clock again.
Right, right. How much did you raise last year? And
we raised about $10,000.
That's impressive.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that
it is.
And a long way.
It goes a really long way. I mean, one of the wonderful things about sending money to this and supporting this organization called Hope Initiatives is that our money goes really far.
Mm.
And Project Africa has very little overhead. And so when we raise money, most of it actually goes to this project. I mean, very little stays behind. We have hardly any, you know, operating costs here. So people can feel really satisfied knowing that not only does their money go to a specific project, but most of it goes to that project.
Mm-hmm.
They know where the money's going to go. And I can tell you from having been there that very little goes very far.
Mm.
I think that's one of the powerful things about working in, you know, developing countries is realizing how little it takes to help.
Mm-hmm.
And to make a difference to people.
Right.
So,
how many children are served at this?
About 200.
200.
Yeah. And they are served breakfast and lunch 3 days a week, and they're served some number of meals on the weekends. And none of them live there. They live in the community, and they're orphans, and they're taken care of by other adults.
Wow.
And the people at this Hope Initiatives project educate the adults.
Mm.
I mean, that's part of what they do. They do community building.
About HIV AIDS.
About HIV AIDS and their support groups for the different demographics they serve.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go there, I teach organic gardening and do these intensive workshops to these adults because they're interested in learning how to garden. And they work. There are two gardens there now. One is for the kids and one is for the adults who take care of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we've taught them how to garden, and they help to grow food for themselves and then also for the kids. So it's sort of like a garden club that they've created.
So talk about that experience, being there and teaching them how to grow food and what the climate is like. Is it good soil or
no?
I mean,
it's a Mediterranean climate. It's interesting. Windhoek is at about a mile elevation, so they actually have pretty severe winters.
Mm.
But it's Mediterranean, so they have a rainy season and a cold season, or dry season and a wet season, like here. But it's desert.
Mm.
It's one of the driest places on Earth, and it's the second least populated country on Earth because it's so dry.
Mm-hmm.
So the soil that we work with is sand. I mean, when I walked in the first time, I thought, I want to go home because
wow.
I thought, I don't know how we can do this.
Yeah.
But what was extraordinary is that there was so much will there. People were so excited about doing this project that I realized that we were going to do it because there was so much help and there was so much enthusiasm. People came out of the woodwork to sift the soil. You know, it was full of rocks, and
right,
100-pound rocks, and you know, things like and garbage because it had been a dump at one time.
Oh, my goodness!
The soup kitchen, that project acquired a piece of land. Someone actually bought them a piece of land, so it was their place, and so they could really start thinking about building a garden, creating orchards, planting orchards, and developing the site. And so that's why they were really excited about this project.
So what are they able to grow there?
Well, it's remarkably very similar to here. I mean, the same kinds of crops. And, you know, they were colonized by Germany, among other countries. And so they're used to European food.
Mm.
And so it's tomatoes and Swiss chard, lots of Swiss chard, that, you know, more chard than anything, interestingly.
Mm.
And tomatoes and peppers and beans and squash. And, you know, it's remarkably similar. So it was easy for me. You know, I did want to try to introduce some things or grow some things that they were familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So we have planted some native fruit trees and some drought-tolerant things.
Mm.
But the food is I mean, the vegetables they grow are really similar.
So what did you think about the food?
Well, the food is very simple. And they use
in the soup kitchen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In the soup kitchen. They use millet and corn as right. kind of the protein and use and make various kinds of stews. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they get meat from various places. They serve chicken and fish. And but probably more than anything, they grow chard. Mm. They like that green.
Yes, yes.
And I was able to introduce kale, and then they really liked that. I mean, kale is a really good food, and really
oh, sure.
a lot of iron
sure.
and protein, and they were open to that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of beets, a lot of tomatoes, that kind
vegetable
of
rich diet.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I remember from southern Africa.
Yeah.
A few different countries, and a lot of pumpkin greens and different flavors you never really I've never really experienced.
Yeah.
In stew base.
Yeah,
stew.
Yeah, a lot of stew sorts of things. And a lot of peanut sauces and
right.
things like that.
Right, right. Are they able to grow peanuts there?
You know, they probably could
mm-hmm.
because it is hot. It's incredibly hot there.
Right, right.
But I don't know. I don't know. If
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so AIDS is still a really big problem.
It's a big problem. Namibia is one of the worst countries, yes.
Mm.
South Africa, Namibia, they're, you know, similar. And Zimbabwe, you know, those are some of the worst countries.
Right.
Yeah.
So the event sounds wonderful. Tell our listeners how they can get tickets, how they can become
okay,
a part of this.
Okay, you can contact Food for Thought in Forestville, and the number is 887-1647. There is a website you can go to, fftfoodbank.org. I think probably the best way is to get tickets by calling the food bank or stopping by. And as I said, they're $75 a person. And the event is from 3 to 6 on Sunday, the 26th.
Great.
So this coming Sunday,
great.
A week from today.
And we're going to leave you with some we'll right now go to some music from Namibia. What was the name of the artist?
Elimoto. Elimoto is one of the big pop stars there right now. Wonderful.
Great.
Singer.
Doug, thank you for joining us.
Yes,
we
thank
appreciate
you
it.
And for
best
having
of
me.
Luck. Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Nantenkweta shiketo ja shikomo penduka ye Hakweto shirongo hoshiwa ye Mkogi machike nandoto ipkova fisbe ye Hayeswa kumunda kokuvare Munda mwimu nokuvare novu steine
Hule wapi mu lele wake As far as the eye can see Rike kile rena mile Mono mule fatsile Barui le balimi Mono mona mibia
Ankwari shime yuko ure Kyo umbola meme wange mkwepe Nande uja kwa wambo kukuleto ya shike kovuste ine Hakweto shilongo shiwa Utalo miti na vanu Utalo vanu no miti Hakweta na shikova wa
Chokai, yakai, chakwanu Gono homo na kifela Uchokai, uyakai, chakwanu Gono homo na kifela Ayo mwana Yeah, 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 yeah Meshiwa, umeshiwa Kalahare Meshiwa, umeshiwa, mami ese Meshiwa, umeshiwa, kalahare Meshiwa, umeshiwa, mami ese There's a land of wide open spaces So many, many, many faces There's a land of wide open spaces So many beautiful faces Namibia, ona warona
Kakuvare
kakwato shirongo woshiwa muno fandu peke peke ofampo no mahere o nkwesa ye no wakapiriri no fandu peke peke kakwano baka yechu lefati lena the land of wide open spaces they say Your soul can rest, you can be at home. Mono mo Namibia. Oshilongo shilipo katike defe de limbali. Namibia no Kalahari. Ipuko mo ilinoko. No miti di modi le di modi kupi. Oshilongo apweto shiwa.
Ushakai. We are kai, kapano, mono homo nati vela. Uchokai, we are kai, kapano, mono homo nati vela. Ayo, mama, ari ye 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 ye. Meshiwa, umeshiwa, halahade. Meshiwa, umeshiwa. Meshiwa, umeshiwa, halahade. Meshiwa, umeshiwa, amikese. There's a land of wide open spaces, so many, many, many faces. There's a land of wide open spaces. So many, many beautiful faces. Namibia, una warona. Woo!
Gotta stay true to your roots now. Be proud and stand up. Get up. Say you're Namibian.
Uchokai, uyakai, takwano, mono homo nati vela. Uyakai, uchokai, takwano, mono homo nati vela. Ayo, papa. Yeah, 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 yeah. Meshiwa, umeshiwa, halahade. Meshiwa, umeshiwa, mamikese. Meshiwa, umeshiwa, halahade. Meshiwa, umeshiwa, mamikese. This land of wide open spaces, so many, many, many faces. This land of wide open spaces, so many beautiful faces. Namibia.
You are listening to Outbeat Collage, Out in the Arts here on KRCB Radio. The Oat Butch collection of menswear inspired fashion and footwear for the Butch women has been described as cutting edge, empowering, and daring enough to redefine the core of a proud and strong woman's gender presentation. How's that for an intro? It's the dream work of business partners Shanna Ponce and Kay Michelle, and it features an affordable line of clothing ranging from unique blazers and dress shirts to preppy pastel polos. We're happy to have both Shanna and Kay Michelle, the founders of Hot Butch, with us this evening. Ladies, welcome to Outbeat Collage.
Thank you.
Thank
Michaela.
You.
Thank you for having us. It's great to be here.
Good. Well, let's begin actually with your inspiration behind this whole fashion line. How did Hot Butch come about?
Well, Hot Butch came about because I found the need to have a Hot Butch myself. I've struggled for many years to have the kind of clothing that I feel expresses myself on the outside as I feel on the inside, and I've talked with other women that have felt similarly. I have spent who knows how much money buying clothes that don't fit me, and that don't really allow me to come with the confidence that I know I have inside. So Hot Butch was designed to bridge the gap between menswear inspired clothing for women fitted with style.
Excellent. Shanna, any input on that?
I just think it's really great that Kay has designed this line and put this together with my support, because it is frustrating for her whenever we go shopping, watching her take men's clothing into the changing room, and she'll come out with the arms way too long or just get really frustrated about the fit. And so what I'm excited about is not only do these clothes fit her perfectly, but also so many women in our community.
And fit's really important when it comes to fashion.
Oh, I would really say so. And not only that, but, you know, for a really long time, it kept me out of the corporate world because I was always concerned about what I was going to wear. Mm. And yet I have a closet full of clothes, but none of it would really define the attitude that I felt on the inside. So I just really feel like there's a need for us to have our own strong identity of fierce fashions.
So talk about sizing. I mean, do you go from petites to plus sizes?
Yeah, our line runs from extra small to 2XL right now, and I'm about to start designing a collection in the 3XL. So I'm excited about that and what that's going to look like for our Butch women. So I'm going to be reaching out on Facebook and Skyping with other Butch women and asking what they want to see on their bodies.
So are you designing collections? Spring, fall, holiday?
Yeah, collections right now of clothing and footwear. Yeah, so we have also started our first collection of footwear, and we did a collaboration with a young guy for the spring, and now we've done our samples for the fall, and we're really excited that we're going to have those back in a month, and they go really well with our clothing for the fall.
Footwear is a big step, no pun intended.
That was good, Gary.
Yeah, it was really great when I started to see Kay sketch out the shoes. And I have a 12-year-old son, and he wanted one of her shoes so bad that he was like, "Mom, when's it going to be ready? When's it going to be ready?" So it's just really great to see on paper that we're hearing from a wide variety of people, not only strong Butch women, but others that are saying, "Well, I may not be Butch, but I'm going to be wearing it." And so that's really exciting as well to see that we're touching more than just that demographic.
Let's talk a little bit about this sense of personal power that kind of comes with wearing clothing that you feel good in. Give us a little bit of your opinions on how do we connect our sense of self with our sense of style through fashion wear.
Well, I think that I operate much better in the world, whether that be at play or in a corporate setting. I mean, just laying around at home. I like to be comfortable in the clothing that I pay for. And I wanted to express something about me on the outside. And I don't want to have to worry about how I'm looking. I don't want to think about that. I know I'm confident on the inside. I know what I bring to the table. And the last thing I want to be thinking about is what I have on. And that's what my life has been like since I've identified as a Butch woman. I'm always wondering, am I underdressed? Do I look as nice as they look because I don't have on pearls and a blue suit, you know, and high heels? So I like to be able to dress funky. I like to be able to dress edgy. I like to be able to dress with a finished look, you know, when it's appropriate. But I want all those clothes to fit.
So you're looking at clothing lines across the spectrum, from casual to corporate, from swimwear. Will you do swimwear, activewear?
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely we want to do swimwear, because we've done a ton of research and found that many butch women will wear a sports bra and board shorts because they don't feel comfortable in a swimsuit. I'm one of them. That's always my chosen swim outfit. And I think what I want is to have something kind of form-fitting. For those days I want to wear it, or I'm feeling thin and want to wear something form-fitting, and also have the choice of something that's loosely fitting, that I can work out in or swim in, that doesn't have a flap for a crotch. Mm-hmm. You know, I want it to fit the curves of a woman because that's what I am. And I don't want to have to resort to underwear, bras, you know, to go out on the beach. I want to feel great and know I'm looking my best. So, yeah, the clothes are casual streetwear throughout the entire spectrum. And our goal is to even eventually get into some wedding clothes, because there's a need for that, too.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm a big supporter of the underwear, because we have our butch models that we're changing clothes, and I'm watching them wear these fitted, you know, boxers for men, and they've got the big hanging down between their legs, and I'm thinking, no, they really do need the right underwear. So I'm really excited about that as well. But you can only do so much at once. So we are, you know, we've tackled a lot, and we are going to bring on a piece at a time.
You talked earlier about a lot of the extensive research you're doing in terms of not only what the community wants, but then how will you manufacture what it is they want. Give us just a little bit of insight to the nuts and bolts of laying out the whole blueprint, coming up with the idea, sending it out to people for opinions and feedback. Give us a little bit of that process.
Okay. Well, where I start, and where I'll start when I begin this next collection, is looking at various designers, you know, their styles, what, and especially men's styles. GQ, I just bought a GQ magazine today because I saw a vest on the front that I thought, wonder how I can fit that to a butch woman. You know, and allow for breasts and underarm without it being large under here or too long. My mind will start moving in that direction, and I'll start just feeling that spark of creativity for what would I like. Then I'll ask other women, what would you like? What are you missing in the closet? And then I'll just begin to sketch. Get some ideas. I'll ask for some feedback, because I'm really self-taught in this designing world, and I'm just feeling my way out as I go. So it's a day at a time process. But once I sketch it, once I get feedback about that sketch, I'll put colors to it, try it in many different ways, take pictures of everything I sketch so that I can change it up and so forth. And then from that point, we reach out to our seamstress, who's fantastic. Her name's Sarah. She's in L.A. And she will come out and actually create that pattern for us on our fit model. And from there, we get estimates about the production for manufacturing and choosing buttons and the whole bit. And we've had a really interesting time learning about buttons. I like the blingiest buttons. Find out from the production people, oh, those are hand-sewn buttons. They're going to cost you more.
Right.
You know, but we want to bring the best that we can, the most affordable things that we can, with the fiercest care that we can give it. We want to bring the best through Hot Butch for these women, because we're trailblazing here, and we don't want to do it halfway, and we want to respect it, you know, all the way from here on out. So it's not about the money.
So you think this is the first clothing line designed for
butch women?
Well, I think that it's the first clothing line that's designed for butch women that runs the full spectrum. What I've seen are, you know, several people that have done T-shirts and tank tops. I've seen a line of bow ties. I've seen a line of boxers and briefs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not right. Right, you're covering everything, which is amazing.
Well, what we endeavor to be is a lifestyle brand. So we're doing clothes, we're doing shoes, and who knows what else we'll do.
It's impressive. I mean, it's amazing it's taken this long for someone to identify this market. You know, when you talk about gay men's fashion, you know, a lot of designers come to names. You know, International Male maybe was sort of the first that really sort of targeted a gay male, other than since so many designers are gay. Male, homosexual, when I say gay, and very few lesbian fashion designers. Can you name one? I don't know that I can name one, which is seems really odd.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, that's Michaela and I were talking earlier about the planets all lining up, you know, and that this doesn't seem to be a coincidence. But we've seen Kara Licks do some outrageous, really fun, exciting clothing on Fashion Star, and she's a lesbian woman. Love her stuff. Welcome her. So glad that she's opening the doors for people like us that aren't on a show.
Right.
Yet.
Yet. Let's see. Then there's a young woman on Project Runway right now that's a lesbian who's doing tomboy type clothing from the that's sort of inspired from the country, like grassroots tomboy type
overalls.
Yeah. So watching her very closely to see how she does on the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great segue into talking about not only the pinup calendar. Well, I'm calling it a pinup calendar.
That's to come.
That was my word. I thought, oh wow, a pinup calendar. But you do have a calendar, and you do have some fashion shows coming up. And we're hoping now that we have Danette on the line to talk a little bit more about that. Danette is one of your team members and assistants.
Yes.
Danette, are you with us?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Very good. Yay, it worked. So let's talk a bit about Butch by Design Fashion coming up.
Well, we recently held a calendar contest for 2013 over the summer. We had almost 100 entries of butch women from all walks of life all over the country, and we were so thrilled with the impact that it seemed to have. And based on public opinion, we got a winner and 11 other butch models who will be featured in our calendar, which we will start pre-sales for on our website very soon, within the next week or so. They really embraced the calendar. They embraced the photos. They embraced the fact that Haute Butch is embracing them. So that was very, very, very exciting for us, as well as the Butch women. So many of them have commented on our Facebook page, thanking us for starting the line, starting the page, similar to the things that Karen was mentioning in terms of the hard time they had finding clothes that fit and what have you. So then the calendar is really going to be smoking, if I do say so myself. The models are all, they're all just very, very attractive women, and they all exemplify the butch aesthetic. So that's, they're taking their photo shoots in their various cities around the country, and then we'll look at the pictures and choose the best ones and put it together so that we can have a fabulous product that will be available on our website at hotbutch.com.
How did you find models?
We had a calendar contest through Facebook, and I did a lot of marketing online on Facebook and other pages that were for lesbian women, for butch women, as well as other websites on the Internet that targeted the lesbian and the butch market, and basically reached out to them, let them know that we had the calendar contest, and then once we had a few entries, they told some friends, and they and so on and so on and so on, as that old commercial used to say.
Uh-huh.
And it just took off from there.
Wonderful, wonderful. Any input from either Shanna or Kay Michelle?
Just that, I mean, Danette did a great job of explaining, but we were actually so impressed with how many people jumped on and said, okay, I want to put my picture out there for this calendar. We had, I think, one day 200 and some likes on Facebook. It just spread like wildfire. And they keep saying, when can we order? When can we order? So we're getting really excited about that upcoming sale. It should be available by mid-November for sales, but you can jump on and get the pre-order. So
good.
It's pretty exciting.
Now, do you have a little discount code for folks?
We do. So for all listeners, HAUTE, HAUTE, radio 15 is the discount code to get 15% off all Hot Butch fashions on our website at hotbutch.com.
And spell it one more time. It's
HAUTEBUTCH.com.
Great. Yeah, and while you're there, take a look at the lookbook and our upcoming events that are listed on the website. And also, if you want to have a peek, you can look at the page where all the calendar women are listed. And they are looking great.
Now, and there is a fashion show coming up, Butch by Design, and that's in San Francisco. Want to give us
Beauty
a few
details? Butch.
Beauty and the Butch, sorry.
Uh-huh. By Butch Voices, September 15th from 7 to midnight. And that's located at the City of Refuge on Howard Street in San Francisco. So we invite all of you to come out and see our amazing Butch models. And we have about 6 looks that'll be walked in that show.
Is this a preview of the fall clothing or what you've already kind of put into production?
Yeah, it's a preview of the fall collection, and it's also a preview of the footwear that we're in collaboration with yours. So come out and take a look and to see what you might like to order. Also, we're always open to feedback, and we love hearing from our demographic. So feel free to come on to Facebook and comment as to what you'd like to see. You know, Hot Butch come up with for you, because that's in essence why we're doing this.
Danette, any final input from your end of the phone line here?
Yes, we'd just like to thank all of the Butch women who are supporting us and non-Butch women. We have supporters from all other demographics, so we'd just like to thank everybody who's embraced us thus far, and we look forward to the thousands and thousands of supporters who don't know about us yet. We have an upcoming contest that'll be starting within another week called Rep Your Rap on the Runway, where Butch singers and rappers can submit a little tune to our Facebook, and the winner will be chosen, will be featured on the runway when we do fashion shows, as well as on the homepage of our website. So more information will be available for that on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/butchbydesign, which is the title of our first collection. So
okay.
We're excited about that as well.
Very good. Can you give us a little hint of the trends that are coming up fashion-wise? What's the hot color?
I think the hot color for this next collection will probably be black and maroons. Mustards.
Mm-hmm. Black, maroon,
looking
and
forward
mustard.
To that. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And what about...
Oh, and let me say gray. Gray is also there. Yeah.
What about the footwear part of it? What? Give us a little idea of what the footwear will look like, or...
Okay. The...
It's a preview only.
Yeah, it's a preview only. The high top that we designed is... let's see, it's black, gray and white. It reminds us of a tuxedo, and we're calling it the tuxedo high top. And what's great about that shoe is it looks wonderful with jeans, or you can dress it up and wear it with a nice pair of skinny black pants to show off the shoe. And then the other pair is more for a casual look, and it's gray, and it has red contrasting stitching. And just so happens that everybody loved that shoe. They picked that shoe on Facebook over 5 other shoes. So we said, okay, well, if we're really going to put our money where our mouth is and give people what they want, that's the shoe that we're going to produce. And since it's gray And Shanna's son happens to be such a fan and a cheerleader for us. And his name is Grayson. So we named that shoe the Grayson.
Cute.
That's terrific.
Yeah, it's a family affair. It's fun. My kids are looking forward to being able to help with shipping and so forth. They're 11 and 12, but they can't wait to work for Hot Butch.
Cool, cool. All right, so give us the stats just one more time. Your website is?
Our website is www.hotbutch.com. And our phone number is 855-842-8824. Just give us a call and say hello.
Good. And the discount code again for purchases.
Yep, that's HAUTE Radio 15, Hot Radio 15. And we want to have all of the KRCB listeners, the first four, to go to Facebook.com, Butch by Design, to post that they heard us on Outbeat Radio. And the first four will win a complimentary T-shirt. That's our newest design that Kay has come up with.
Yay.
Yay. Now, you must comment KRCB, Hot Butch, on Outbeat Radio in order to win your shirt. So, Danette's standing by and looking for those comments, so get yours in.
Get ready, Danette.
All right, I'm ready.
Danette stays ready.
Very good. All right, well, we want to thank all of you for being with us tonight. It's an exciting new adventure, and I agree. The planets have lined up, and I think you've found a niche that is just filling a wonderful and fashionable need in the community.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
for
being
with
us.
Thank you all for your support. Thank you for having us.
And great doing fashion business in the North Bay.
I know. It's so exciting.
It doesn't seem to happen that often for you. Right. We also want to say thanks to Doug Gosling from Food for Thought for stopping by tonight. And don't forget about the Project Africa benefit that happens next Sunday in Sebastopol. Tune in next month for Outbeat Collage when Michaela and I will be chatting with the owners of Island Fever, an LGBT-owned shop in Windsor that showcases Hawaiian art and other goods from the islands. Plus, Rachel Gardner from Food for Thought, big Food for Thought couple of months here, will be here to chat about their annual Calabash fundraiser coming up in October. Once again, a big thank you to Mary Moore Campagna for engineering tonight. And we want to thank all of our Outbeat listeners for you joining us on this Sunday, and hope you'll listen to us every Sunday. You can also listen to all of our shows on our website, outbeatradio.org. We leave you tonight with another track from Jeff Agler.
And once again, want to just say thank you to Karen, to Shanna, to Danette, to Kay Michelle. Thanks to you, our KRCB listeners, and we'll see you all again next time.